up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello once again and welcome to New Horizons. Last week I mentioned the fact that the Memorandum of Understanding was signed between Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales at a meeting held in Sydney a couple of weeks ago. What you're about to hear is a discussion between John Simpson and Graham Innes, John being the President of Blind Citizens Australia, Graham being the President of Blind Citizens New South Wales, about exactly what the MOU encompasses and exactly why it's a good idea for both organisations. There was quite a lot of this recording. We won't be able to bring it all to you on this occasion. But if you'd like to hear more about it, we may do so in future programs. Just email me on new.horizons@bca.org.au.
The notion of a merger between Blind Citizens New South Wales and Blind Citizens Australia is not a new concept. I don't actually remember the circumstances of the first attempt, but I do remember very much the discussions that took place in the early 2000s, and we progressed those discussions to a point, and then for some reason there seemed to be some resistance, and I think there was some miscommunication on both sides. And unfortunately, the event didn't go ahead, or the merger didn't go ahead at that stage. And my recollection is that it largely comes down to communication, because people who had the opportunity to vote on the matter weren't in a position to have a full and clear understanding of what was proposed and to challenge anything that they thought was not 100% to their liking. So one of the fundamentals of this current process has been to build communication, and we've done that in a number of ways. So why do we want a merger? Well, it's the opportunity for better and more resourced representation of people who are blind or vision impaired in New South Wales, and to consolidate that effort. I talked to the BCA board today about the need for efficiency, that, you know, too often we run around chasing our tails in the way that we do things. Well, this MOU, even if it doesn't lead to a merger, provides us with a great opportunity to consolidate our efforts on behalf of blind and vision impaired people. And we're already seeing that with Crystal taking on a couple of responsibilities that were traditionally allocated to BCA representation in a couple of areas, and I'm sure that we'll go on to more and more of that as the time goes on. So let me now come back to you, Graham, to perhaps talk more specifically about the working relationship and how it might unfold.
One of the important factors about the merger is the significant level of crossover of membership, and that's something that we've very much noted. And it seems to be becoming more and more the case. And in fact, last year the Sydney branch decided to cease its operations temporarily to see where this process might take us. And and John has commented on some of the other benefits in terms of the benefit of better resourcing, and we've both commented on the consultation with members. So I want to start looking at the sections of the memorandum, and the first clause is the introductory clause. And it sets out that this is based on a closer working relationship in the last few years, that it will include working cooperatively and a joint work on the rollout of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, that the MOU is a commitment to work towards merger by both boards or committees, but it requires constitutional change of both organisations, and so that's anticipated in October or November of this year. But the merger can't happen, of course, without the approval of members of both organisations. And that's why consultation is going to play a major part of this process. It's already occurred in Sydney and Canberra and various other conversations. It's occurring more today, and that will continue. that's really the introduction of the process. I'm going to pass you back to John to talk about the objects.
We established, as I think most of you will know, a joint committee which was led initially by Emma and Graham as the two respective presidents, and we came up with this fantastic name of calling it the President's Committee because, you know, we didn't want to be, you know, so transparent.
Yeah.
So that committee with Emma, myself and Stephen Belbin representing BCA, and Graham and Susan and Barry representing BC New South Wales, felt that the first thing to do was to set down some objectives of what we wanted to do. And I'm going to read those to you in a minute, but I want to make the point that all three of these objectives, in our minds, are equally important. So it's not a case of the first one and the others are consequential to that, but they all have value in their own right and should be seen that way. So the first of these is to work towards a merger which is in the best interest of the members and others who are blind or vision impaired to be achieved in October, November of this year. The second, to develop joint systems and resources which will have practical benefit irrespective of whether the merger goes ahead. Examples are in the areas such as accounting systems and shared phone and web storage services, and there are others that we could workshop over a period of time. And the third is that communication and consultation are key elements of the merger process. And I think it's fair to say that not only at the President's Committee level, but also at the level of the boards of the staff of both organisations, that third one carries as much weight in our planning and thinking as the other two do. Graham.
I have the task of going through the conditions of the merger. The first condition relates to the history of both organisations, which, as many of us know, for BC and SW is from 1910, for BCA from 1975. And it's important to take into account and celebrate that history, both during and after the merger process. And you'll see references to that scattered throughout the MOU because of the recognition that that's so important. The second condition is to recognise the benefits of combining resources whilst retaining a degree of autonomy at a state level. And BCA are proposing to introduce state divisions in the organisation, but the National Board will maintain control of those. But there will be a degree of autonomy. One of the recognitions in the creation of BCA was that BCA wanted to be an organisation of its members, not a federation of organisations. And that's a key pillar on which BCA was established. So whilst BCA recognises now that there does need to be a level of autonomy in different states, as there has been with the NSW and ACT coordinating committee, we don't want to get back to being a federation. And when you think about the issues and the intergovernmental issues that we experience in Australia, I'm sure I don't need to convince too many people on that point. But we do need that state input, so you've got to find that balance. And if legally viable, and we don't know if it will be legally viable yet, but we're certainly going to try and make it so, then the structure of BCNSW will be used as the New South Wales ACT state division. The third condition is that many members of BCNSW are already members of BCA, but those who are not will, as part of this proposed merger, become members of the new BCA unless they choose not to, because of course you can't force a person to become a member, but it'll be an opt-out rather than an opt-in process. The fourth condition is that at least one-third of the board members of BCA will be from New South Wales and the ACT. And that will be for a period of 3 years. Now, in reality, of course, this is already the case. There's no reason, given that NSW and the ACT make up a third of the population, that that grouping won't remain so. But, of course, at some point, if we're going to become a truly national organisation, we can't have a particular benefit to one state and not others. The next condition, number five, is that there will be a similar office maintained in New South Wales to that in place at the time of the proposed merger. And, of course, we don't know what the shape of that will be, because we've been talking earlier this afternoon in BCNSW about the fact that we've received our notice from Vision Australia. We have to be out by the 31st of July unless we want to pay significantly higher rent than we're currently paying. So we do need to find another office. And that similar office must be maintained for at least 10 years. But my expectation is that that will be a continual maintaining, and that we will have more than one BCA office, so that there'll be an office in New South Wales. And of course, it's certainly conceivable that the office in New South Wales could become the national office. There's absolutely no reason why that couldn't be the case in the future. In condition six is to do with employees, that BCA must maintain the BCNSW employees on the same terms and for the terms of their contracts. That's a standard merger proposal. That the state division in New South Wales will perform a similar role to the New South Wales coordinating committee, and that we will get that greater involvement at state level than has been had in the past. We discussed earlier at BCNSW today the decision to move funds into a subfund of the Geoffrey Blythe Trust, and that decision to do that has been made in principle, and this document proposes it will be called the Shirley Subfund and have the same objectives as the Geoffrey Blythe Foundation, except that the funds must primarily provide significant and continuing benefit to members in New South Wales and the ACT, and people who are blind and vision impaired in New South Wales and the ACT. Condition 9 is that BCNSW funds and assets will transfer to BCA at the time of the proposed merger. They'll be accounted for separately and spent in the same way as for the Shirley Subfund, so primarily on activities of continuing and significant benefit to members and blind and vision impaired people in New South Wales and the ACT. So I'm going to pass back to John for the concluding comments before we get to questions.
The one thing I just did want to pick up on out of those conditions is the one relating to a continued office presence in New South Wales. BCA has already had a change in its philosophy around its national management. As you would know, we've recently appointed Emma as our executive officer. And while Emma will spend the majority of her time in Melbourne for the first 3 months of her appointment, the expectation is that we'll move far more to a decentralised management style for the organisation, even in this coming year. So I would see that, in fact, we'll have a network of offices around the country, including one here in Sydney, and that national and state functions will be shared among those. So I certainly just want to reinforce that fact. I think it's good that we commit in writing to a 10-year moratorium here, but I actually think that things will move much, much faster than that.
And that was a portion of the recording of the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding between Blind Citizens Australia and Blind Citizens New South Wales. My thanks to Barry Chapman for providing this recording. If you'd like to get in touch with BCA, you can ring 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. If you'd like to get in touch by email, bca@bca.org.au is the email address. The website, of course, is bca.org.au, and that is your one-stop shop, if you like, for all sorts of blindness resources. There are plenty of fact sheets and advocacy bulletins and things like that there that you can have a look at. You can also find out how to get copies of New Horizons and other audio publications from Blind Citizens Australia. And you can also find out how you might donate to keep the organisation going. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company once again. Do join me again next week.
We'll achieve the realisation of our dreams. Of our dreams.